Scripture reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for calling us to be your church. We are here in your presence, Lord, this morning. Please, Lord, speak to us. We will obey your word, Lord. And we pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When I was in the seminary, I took a course on Christian leadership. On the first day of the class, the professor asked his students to raise both their hands and to hold their hands together. Then he said this, on an average, just one out of three Christian leaders can finish well in their life. It means among three of you holding your hands together, two may not finish well. Also, it may be you. I was surprised to hear that most of Christian leaders do not finish well. You may think at this moment, hey, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a leader of this church. This sermon is not for me. But I am 100% sure that God calls each of us here as leaders. Because one of the classical and simplest definitions of a leader is the one who exercises his or her influence on people. If we are in the position of influence, we are leaders. Contemporary cultures, contemporary churches base their being and identity on the two scriptures in the book of Matthew. The first one is the greatest commandment in Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus Christ added this sentence to the greatest commandment. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It means the entire law and also all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. What is the message of the Bible? In a word, that is love. The other is from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. If the churches in the world are founded on the greatest commandment and also the great commission, we as the church of God are in the position of impacting the life of people. So you and I, as the people of God, as the church of God, we are called as leaders for the world. That is why our book of discipline defines our mission as follows. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Local churches provide the most significant arena through which disciple making occurs. We are called as a church to transform the world, to make an influence on the lives of the people in the world. So, we are, as churches of God, called as leaders. Let us remember Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we need to find instruction and information on how we should finish well in our life and ministry by the examples of leaders portrayed in the scripture. There are approximately 1,000 leaders mentioned by name in the Bible. Most of these leaders are mentioned by name only, or sometimes are just mentioned in connection with the role. Some of the leaders receive a little more attention, but not very much information is given about their lives. There are about 100 prominent leaders described in the scriptures. Of the 100 prominent leaders, only 49 have enough information about how they finished their life and ministry. Dr. Bobby Clinton, one of the renowned scholars in Christian leadership, says, in the Bible, few leaders finished well. Only about 30% of the biblical leaders finished well. And he also said, I have found the same conclusion with the contemporary Christian leaders after carefully studying their lives. 2 out of 3 do not finish well. And what does it mean to finish well? There are 6 characteristics of those who finish well in the Bible. They tell us about what it means to finish well. The first one is relationship with God. Relationship with God. The people who finish well in the Bible maintain a personal, vibrant relationship with God up to the end of their ministry, of their life. The relationship with God is measured in terms of their intimacy, their faithfulness, and their obedience to God. The second characteristic, a learning posture. They maintain a learning posture and learn from various sources such as life, other people, and literature. We are called to be students of life and also to learn lessons from life. They never stop learning. Characteristic number 3, Christ-like character. They show evidence of Christ-likeness in their character, which is manifested in the fruit of the Spirit. Their life is characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you think you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit? I'm sure God is working on you. He tries to give the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Characteristic number 4, maintain convictions and benefits. They live life based on their convictions and truths that God has revealed to them. The promises of God are received by faith, and decisions are made on the basis of them. Characteristic number 6, number 5, accomplish God's purposes. They leave behind an ultimate contribution or a legacy, which is a testimony of their God-honoring life. There are many different kinds of legacies that are left behind. Many are centered on how they live their life and their personal attributes. Other legacies are centered around what they accomplished in life and ministry. Last but not least, characteristic number 6, fulfill their sense of destiny. They walked in a growing awareness of their sense of destiny and saw most of it, or all of it, fulfilled in their lifetime. During their lifetime, there was a growing sense on their part that they were moving towards accomplishing the things that God had laid out for them. Choices and life decisions were made on the basis of this sense of destiny. Do you have a growing awareness of your sense of destiny in your life? These 6 characteristics paint a vivid picture of what it means to finish well. We ought to use these characteristics as a yardstick or a guideline for shaping our life and ministry. When do we begin to get these characteristics established in our life? It should start right now. Also, there are six barriers to finish well as Christian leaders. Barrier number one is finances, their use and abuse. Money has caused the downfall of quite a few leaders. A character trait of greed or a lack of integrity will often lead to the improper control and use of money. Several years ago, when I visited my home country, a home church in South Korea, I had a chance to meet with my senior pastor. And he used to be a bishop in the Korean church, because in South Korean Methodist churches, a bishop, they keep their own church while they, playing a role as a bishop. And he showed me the records of his finance while he was serving my home church. And he said this: I try hard to make a record of every detailed expenditures I've made. There are sometimes, the money left for me, but I use those money for the pastors who are, in not good, situations. But again, I made a record, every expenditure. 3 more years left for his retirement, and he is well-respected pastor among the pastors. If any pastor can get the respect from the pastors, he or she is a good one. I do believe he will finish his life very well. How do you use your money? Everything we have is from God. To finish our life well, you need the wisdom how to use the money you got from God for his kingdom and glory. Barrier number two, the abuse of power and authority. I think we are living in a very confusing world, because many young generation, they do not respect authority and power, right? But I think that is why I believe we have to develop our own understanding about power and authority from the Bible. The power and authority we have are given from God to help those under our authority to be close to God, to obey God. If I'm a pastor, why God has given me the authority? Because to build up our church more health, to lead our church members to close to God more. If I have authority as a father and mother, why God gave me that kind of authority? Because using their authority and power, I can lead my family members to be more close to our God. Have them to obey the word of God more and more. Authority and power were not given to us just for ourselves. They were given for the people of God. Barrier number three is pride. We must have a healthy respect for ourselves, and yet we must recognize that we have nothing that was not given to us by God. God is the only one who really allows us to participate and become effective in ministry. Pride can easily lead to poor decisions and sinful behavior. I strongly encourage you to read 2 Timothy, because that letter was written at Paul's last days. So he tried hard to instruct Timothy about how he should do ministry before the eyes of God. And you can find out a lot of lessons about, especially about how you can finish well. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a list of the sins. According to Timothy's, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are living in the last days. Last days is described as painful time. We are living in the painful times. And those lists are about the reasons of our pain. One thing special about that sin in a list in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is this: the pride, the word pride, repeated twice. In the sinful times, in the painful times we are living in right now, our time is saturated with pride. That's why many people in the world, they don't finish well. We have to be very careful about our pride. Barrier number four, sexual misconduct. Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39 ought to serve as a model for responding to this kind of temptation. Here is, you know, Joseph's, you know, confession. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? To the end of his life, Joseph, he could sense the presence of God in his life. Barrier number five, family relationship. Problems between spouses or between parents and children or between siblings can easily destroy Christian families. More than ever before, families that live according to biblical values are needed. Husbands and wives need to learn to love one another and submit to one another. Parents need to learn to teach their children how to live according to the biblical values. I know nowadays many families are suffering because of their relationship. But you are here as a leader because God wants to see the transformation happening in your family through you. Please don't disregard the problems you have in your family. God has called you to do something to solve the problems in your family. Because you have that authority. Because you are called as a leader to impact the life of the people in your family. We are not alone. And God is with us. If He helps us, we can solve the problem with God. Barrier number six. Plateauing. Leaders who are competent in their life tend to plateau in their growth. What was their very strength becomes a weakness. We can develop our ministry and life skills very well without the active presence of God. Plateauing in growth will hinder Christian leaders from finishing well because they will not fulfill all that God has for them to accomplish. Proverbs 22:3 says, the clever see danger and hide, but the simple go on and suffer for it. If one of these barriers were going to hinder you from finishing well, which barrier is the most likely one? There are no guarantees that any of us will finish well. Right? There is no fixed formula that can be applied in order to ensure success in our lives. However, I believe that there are a number of things that we can do in order to enhance the chances of finishing well. I'd like to make some suggestions on how we can finish well as Christian leaders according to Apostle Paul's life. First, develop a holistic perspective on your life. Develop a holistic perspective on your life. If you read carefully the 2 Timothy, you will find that what Apostle Paul has in his heart, to the end of his life, he was really focusing on the kingdom of God. And he realized there will be a time that I will be stand before God. And his focus was on that. The kingdom of God. I will stand before the judgment table of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:6, as for me, I am already being poured out as a libation. Libation is the daily drink offerings in the Old Testament. After the Jewish priest offered the lamb, ram, or bull in this ritual, he poured wine beside the altar. This was the last act in the sacrificial ceremony, all of which symbolized the dedication of the believers to God in worship. Paul saw his life as worship. He himself was a living sacrifice to God. He wanted to give his last drop of his life to God, complete dedication and faithfulness. That is what God wants from all of us. He wants everything from us because he gave himself to us to save us from our sins. Apostle Paul saw his life also as a race. In that race, he understood that he should keep the faith, and he did it. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Also, he knew that there would be a reward reserved for him, the crown of righteousness. It is a reward reserved not just for him, but also for those who have longed for his appearing. Apostle Paul had a clear perspective on his life. With this clear perspective, he could finish well, giving his life to God to the end of his life. 2nd suggestion is develop lifelong spiritual discipline. Develop lifelong spiritual discipline. The Apostle Paul exhorted the members of the Corinthian church and all of his readers today that disciplining himself was a means of inspiring perseverance in the ministry. Paul was around 50 years of age when he wrote the letter to the Corinthians and revealed one of the keys to his effectiveness in ministry. He has been in ministry for approximately 20 years when he wrote this. Would you please join me reading in this scripture together? You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You are after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in the top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Paul believed in practicing discipline. Toward the end of his life, Paul encourages Timothy to keep himself fit. Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. What kind of spiritual discipline do you practice every day? Do you have your special time with God every day? Did you ever appoint the special space that you can build up the relationship with God every day? Do your children know that you have that kind of time with God? The third recommendation is keep learning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 13. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchment. Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6, the time of my death is near. He sensed his destiny of departure. But in the same chapter, he asked Timothy to bring the books to him. He never failed to study the scripture until the end of his time. Our church offers different kinds of learning opportunities for our church members. Every Monday, we have a Bible study group. And also, adult Sunday school will begin again in the fall. Kay Cargill is leading Bible study at Riverside. many old adult members, they really like Kay Kaga's, you know, teaching. United Methodist men, United Methodist women, seasoned adult group, they are all providing learning opportunities for our church members. Please, never stop learning. I especially encourage you to study the leaders in the Bible. Spend some time reflecting on their stories. Try to discover lessons from them. When I was in Minnesota, serving a Korean church in St. Paul area, every Wednesday morning, I would go to the Perkins restaurant with my church members right after early morning prayer meetings. Every Wednesday, whenever we went there, we could find a group of gray-haired old people doing Bible study together at the restaurant. During the summertime, they came to the Bible study with their grandchildren. It looked wonderful because they were teaching a lesson to their grandchildren that they also should study the Bible even in their old age. Last year, I had a chance to join the Stephen Leaders Training in Pittsburgh with the generous support of our church. I sat around the table with the people from other churches and other denominations. I met a retired doctor from Texas. He was a 70-year-old psychiatrist. I didn't understand why he needed this kind of training to become a Stephen leader. This is what he said. I retired several years ago, so I want to spend more time at the church doing more ministries. My church is a fast-growing church. We need a Stephen ministry. We have a lot of church members who need Stephen ministers. That is why I'm here. It was a week-long training, starting early in the morning, around 10 o'clock in the afternoon and night. But he never missed a class there. The last suggestion is become a mentor to the next generation. Mentoring is a relational process in which one person, the mentor, empowers another person, the mentee, by sharing God-given resources such as timely advice, wisdom, information, emotional support, protection, resources, and opportunity with him or her. If you read Christian biographies of leaders who have finished well, you will discover that on the average, each leader had between 10 to 15 key mentors over their lifetime. Barnabas was a great mentor to Paul. Barnabas introduced Paul to the leaders in the Jerusalem church so that Paul could build up the relationship to the first church. Later, Paul was invited by Barnabas to serve as one of the teachers and pastors at Antioch church, where he could start the, you know, Gentile missions. Timothy was Paul's mentee. He joined Paul's missions from his second missionary trip. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy to mentor him as he served the church in Ephesus. Paul continued his relationship as a mentor to the end of his life. You can be your mentor to the next generation at our church and also in your family. Two, let me close my sermon with a story that I'd like to share with you. I believe that one of the best ways to learn about a person's life is to attend his or her funeral service and listen to what his or her family members say about him or her. One of the contemporary Christian leaders who finished well is Luce Graham, who is Billy Graham's wife. In her funeral service, Luce Graham's children expressed their gratitude for their mom in these words. Franklin Graham said, "She taught all of her children to love the Lord God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Mama." Bonnie Graham said, "She was a lovely, beautiful, wise woman because early in her life, she chose the Christ as her center, her home, her purpose, her example, and her vision. We can all make that choice today. Even her husband, Billy Graham, said this about his wife: "We were married for nearly 64 years. Ruth was my partner, and we were called by God as a team. No one else could have borne the load that she carried. She was a vital and integral part of our ministry. And my work through the years would have been impossible without her encouragement and support. I'm so grateful to the Lord that He gave me Ruth. And especially for these last few years we've had in the mountains together. We've rekindled the romance of our youth. And my love for her continued to grow deeper every day. I will miss her terribly and look forward even more to the day I can join her in heaven. I wish you could look at that casket because she's so beautiful. I sat there a long time last night just looking at her and praying that she had a great reception in heaven." Why don't you spend some time reflecting on the end of your life? Imagine that you are attending your own funeral. What would you want to be said about you? What would you want to be remembered for? What would you want to be written on your tombstone? More than anything else, I would like you to leave a legacy of your faith for your children and grandchildren. Let me ask you this. Where are your children? Where are your grandchildren at this moment, on this Sunday morning? Do they at their church, serving God and worshiping God? If not, why don't you start to pray for your children and grandchildren that your legacy of faith can be continued in your family? As Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Can you say that to your children and grandchildren? I know we must confess the same confession as Paul did. If our God calls us as leaders to influence people, God calls us to finish our lives well. We as leaders can finish well with God's help. Will you pray with me? Our Father, you have called us to make an impact upon the people in the world and also in our family. Your calling is an invitation to the relationship with you because we believe that we can be effective leaders as we walk closely with you. Lord, allow us to have a lifelong intimate relationship with you. Let us find our strength and power in our fellowship with you. When you lead us to learn new things, give us courage to follow your new direction. Let us become a mentor to our children, grandchildren, and also our next generation at our church. By doing so, Lord, help us all to finish our life well. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand as you're comfortable. And in every season of life, may our prayer always be, "Give me Jesus." In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning.